Grace and peace to you in the name of our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I want to talk about the gospel today that we just sang about and heard about. Jesus among his disciples and doubting Thomas. Let us pray as we continue to hear God's word today. We pray, oh gracious Lord, give us the Holy Spirit and open our ears and open our minds and open our hearts to receive your word in faith. And with great joy that we believe in the resurrection, that we believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, that we believe that we have forgiveness of sins in your name, and that we go forth to share that good news with the dying world. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Christ is here. I knew you guys would choke on that one. He is here. He is here indeed. Hallelujah. Took you a little bit. Last Sunday and today certainly too in this Easter season, we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus and we say he is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. But today really the theme of the gospel is that the risen one is right here. Last Sunday, Easter Sunday, we learn what happened. Easter Sunday is about the fact of the resurrection. You know the great story. The women go to the tomb. There's evidence he's alive. The stones rolled away. An angel rolled it away. There was an earthquake. And there's no body in the tomb. And the burial clothes are folded up. And there's an angel that tells them that Christ is alive. And then, of course, they say Jesus himself. He is the best evidence for he himself is alive right there in front of him. It's what happened. He did it. He did rise from the dead. It's a fact. But this Sunday now, well, where is he? That's 2,000 years ago over in the Jerusalem area. Been a couple thousand years. We live here in Knoxville, Tennessee. Just where is this risen Jesus? For if the risen Jesus, if he's floating around up there in space somewhere, how's that help me? So what? He's out there somewhere. I don't know where he is. And where does the risen one come after he rises? Notice he does not go to the emperor of Rome. Here I am, I'm the Son of God. Repent, Rome. Could have done that, but he doesn't. He does not go to Caiaphas, who condemned him. Here I am, Caiaphas. I'm back. Doesn't do that. Doesn't go to Pontius Pilate. Here I am. You should have never crucified me. I'm back. Judgment. He doesn't show himself to his enemies. He doesn't appear in the sky. I'm the Son of God. Here I am. I'm alive. Pay attention, world. He could have done that. Doesn't go up on the pinnacle of the temple. Here I am. Or up on some high mountain. Here I am, the risen Savior, in some public way. Doesn't do any of that. What does the risen Son of God do? Where does he go? He goes to his scared church, hiding behind locked doors. Men that have guilt, shame, embarrassment, they all deserted him. Men that are afraid, as the text says, the doors are locked. Where does he go? He's with the church. Where is he today? He's with the church. He's in these four walls. He's right here among us who have guilt, who have shame, who are embarrassed, who are afraid, who are anxious, who are worried. He's right here among us. He is here. He is here indeed. Hallelujah. And as I read Luke, John 20, two simple, wonderful lessons he teaches his church when he comes. Real simple, straightforward, powerful. He's telling his church today, the disciples, you and I, as he's here, he's saying, number one, remember the cross. Remember the cross. Say it with me. Remember the cross. And number two, reach the lost. Say it. Reach the lost. I'm not saying amen yet. I got a little ways to go. Remember the cross. Reach the lost. That's what the risen one says to his church. First, He says loudly by what he does, remember the cross. Remember the cost of your salvation. Remember Good Friday. For note, he stands among these men. He says, peace be with you. Then immediately, what's he do? To show it's him. He doesn't quickly do a miracle. Let me do a real quick miracle to show you it's me. He doesn't say, well, just listen to my voice. You guys have heard my voice for 3 years. You should know my voice. It's really me. What's he do? He shows them his scars from Good Friday. He shows them the wounds in his hands and his feet and his side. This is how you're going to know me. This is my identity. I'm the God of the cross. In other words, fellas, do not forget the cross. Dear friends, this is the Son of God, the holy, pure, powerful Son of God. He could have easily came back without any scars. It's not like, well, I got to have scars. He could have easily came back and just had a beautiful body with no scars, as if Good Friday never happened. Let's forget about Good Friday. But rather, specifically, he comes back showing the wounds. To say to his disciples, you and I, yes, I'm alive. I've conquered sin, death, and hell. But fellas, don't forget the cost of your salvation. Don't forget the cross. Don't forget Good Friday. Three times he says, peace be with you, peace be with you, peace be with you. This means forgiveness with God, reconciliation with God. And then he shows the price of that. Those aren't magical words. When Jesus says, peace be with you, it's not some magic. Okay, now I'm at peace. The cost is his life to make peace with God. And don't you forget it. Those 10 men, Judas had hung himself, Thomas was not there. Those 10 men probably wanted to forget about Good Friday. It's a horrible day, Good Friday. Let's forget about it. Let's get over it. Move on. Christ would say, no. Remember those 6 hours on the cross from 9 to 3. Remember the nails in my hands. Remember the nails in my feet. Remember the crown of thorns on my head. Remember the whip on my back. Remember all the blood and all the blood and all the blood. Remember the mocking and the spitting. Remember it all. Think of it all. Meditate on all of it. Remember my 7 last words. Remember how I breathed my last and gave up the spirit. Remember how I bowed my head. Remember the spear in my side and blood and water coming. Remember all of that. That's the cost of salvation. And don't you dare forget it. And become conceited. And think you're entitled to salvation somehow. And go on your merry way not realizing what I've done for you. Easter does not cover up Good Friday. Okay, let's not forget. We don't like Good Friday. Let's talk about Easter. Easter does not cover up Good Friday. Easter does not cancel Good Friday. It doesn't push Good Friday in the corner. Easter puts the spotlight on Good Friday. Easter puts the spotlight on the cross. This is what it means. For when God raises Jesus from the dead, we have to ask, well, why did he die then? God raised this man from the dead, which means he did not die for his own sins. Then why did he die? Whose sins did he die for? He didn't die for his own sins because God raised him from the dead. Who did he die for? He died for you and I. He died for the world. And so our sins are paid for. Our debt is paid. And we have peace with God. Easter puts a spotlight right where it should be, on the cross. Easter says the cross is not just a murder. The cross is the mercy of God. Easter says the cross is not just suffering. The cross is the salvation of God. It's not just pain. It's the peace of God. It's not just rejection. It's the redemption and reconciliation of God to a world. That's what Easter does. If something is in darkness and you can't see it and don't understand it, what do you need? This is real simple. You need a light. Well, you think about Good Friday. Good Friday happened in darkness. There is darkness. And no one on that day understood much of what was happening at all, why it was happening. Everybody was just really, really sad and upset. It was in darkness. Easter is the bright light that explains Good Friday. Who is Donnie Tindall? I asked myself that question this week. I opened the paper. Who in the world is Donnie Tyndall or Tyndall or whatever his name is? Who is he? Do you know who he is? He's our new basketball coach. I had to figure it out. By the way, you got a guy from Michigan. You go up north to get your basketball coaches. I realize that around here. And you learn he's in Mississippi and he's got a pretty good record. But you had to figure out, who is this Donnie Tyndall guy? We're learning about him. Okay, we'll figure out about him. Hopefully he's a good coach. Looks like a pretty good guy. Who is Jesus Christ? This is the question of life. Who is this Jesus? And Jesus wants to teach us today. He's not just a good teacher. He's not just a good man. He's not just a nice example that we can't possibly follow. Jesus is God. But more than that, what kind of God is he? He's a God who would give his life for the world. He's a God of sacrifice, a God of death, a God of blood. Therefore, a God I can trust and give my life to. Parents, we got a lot of children here. We welcome all of you. You want your kid to be a peacock? You know, we have a danger of raising children to be peacocks. Or we could raise them to be worms, too. Let me explain how the cross fits in here. This is why we teach Christ and the cross all over the school. It's very easy to raise a child to be a peacock, meaning that they strut their feathers. I'm so wonderful. I'm it. I'm popular. I'm special. God is so lucky to have me. I'm the most wonderful kid in the whole world. Look at me. Look at me. Look at me. Don't raise a kid like that to be a peacock spreading their feathers. And you see, when we teach the cross to children, this humbles them. This humbles us all. I can't save myself. Kid, you can't save yourself. You're not so great. You're a sinner, young man, young woman, you're a sinner. You can't save yourself. Beg. Be humble. Be humble. The cross humbles the exalted. And nor do we want our children to be worms. Where a kid grows up thinking, well, I'm nothing, I'm a nobody, I'm an accident, my mom and dad didn't really want me, I'm nobody important, I have no gifts, I'm not special at all. And the cross lifts up the humble. The cross says, you are special. You're so special, God died for you. And God forgives you. And God is with you. And God loves you. You are very, very special. Never forget it. So the cross keeps us on an even keel, which we need to be at. I'm not a peacock, I'm not a worm, I'm a sheep. I'm a lamb. That's what I am, in the hands of my God. May the cross ever humble us, exalt us. The cross also works in this great gratitude. We live in this age of entitlement. We can raise our children that way, where they just think they're entitled to everything. And the cross says, no, you're not. No, you're not. You're not entitled to salvation. It's a gift of the grace of the Almighty God on a cross. So be thankful, child. Be thankful. And pour out your praise to your God who has saved you and delivered you. Humility. Faith. Trust. Thanksgiving. This is what the cross teaches. That's why Christ is saying, remember the cross. The cost of your salvation. That's why we teach and preach the cross of Jesus at First Lutheran Church and school. And the other second great lesson that Jesus teaches here is reach out to the lost. Remember the cross, and now reach out to the lost. It's of great note. Right after he shows them his hands and his side, and they're very glad to see him, right away then he goes to mission work. He does not wait a day or a week. It's right away. These scared men hiding behind locked doors. It's time for mission work. He says to them, peace be with you. Then he says, mission. As the Father has sent me, even so I'm sending you now. 10 scared, guilt-ridden men hiding in a room. I'm sending you now. And then a little later, if you forgive the sins of anyone, they're forgiven. If you withhold, it's withheld. So, it's real simple, guys. I give you a purpose. Your purpose is now to proclaim salvation to the world. And one word you say a lot is the word forgiveness. Forgiveness, 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 peace, salvation, cross, Jesus, all the same thing. Preach and teach the forgiveness of sins in the name of Jesus. Preach and teach the cross. Now get out there and go. As the Father sent me, I'm sending you. Get out there and go. It's immediate mission work. Purpose. And he gives power to do it too. For he breathes on them the Holy Spirit. I'm giving you all the power you need. You have the Holy Spirit. He is with you. He fills you. You have no excuse to go out and tell the good news now of salvation in my name. Purpose and power. Reach the lost. I was looking through the paper the other day, and there's a big ad caught my eye. And it said skills that employers are desperately seeking. Skills that employers are desperately seeking. I said, well, I wonder what employers are desperately seeking out there today. And one was software skills, but the other two caught my eye. Skills that employers desperately want in their workers. Communication skills. You can talk, communicate. And another one up there was confidence. You have poise and confidence in what you're doing. Aren't these age-old skills that go way, way back? And isn't that, in a way, what Christ gives his disciples? I'll give you what you're supposed to communicate. You're to communicate to the world the forgiveness of sins. Communicate the cross. Keep it simple. You don't need all sorts of workshops and seminars and Bible studies and plans and strategies. Just keep it simple and go make disciples and spread the good news of forgiveness to a dying world. You talk too much, church. You plan too much. You strategize too much. Just go out and do it. Simple. And he also gives them confidence, the Holy Spirit. Purpose, power. Last of all, he gives them a person to work on for a week. And what person are they all to work on for a week who doesn't believe? It's their friend Thomas. He starts out easy with them. Let's all 10 of you work on one guy. I'll start off easy. You're going to have more challenges coming up. Start off real easy. You got Thomas not here. Go work on Thomas. He's one of the 12. Go work on your friend. And the entire week it appears for 8 days. They say, we've seen the Lord, we've seen the Lord. Does Thomas convert? No. There's lessons in all this for the church and its mission. When you reach out, go to the people that are close to you. Thomas is one of them. In your family, your friends, your workers. You don't have to go way, way out there. Just people that you have interaction with that don't know Christ. Start with them. And another lesson is, it's not going to be easy. Thomas is stubborn in unbelief. Unbelief is of the devil, and it is tough. So you must persevere. Thomas does not convert after a couple words. They talk to him for 8 days, 10 men for 8 days. He still doesn't believe. He's teaching you have to fight the good fight of faith and persevere. Keep preaching, keep teaching, keep preaching, keep teaching. This is why we have a school 140 years, a church 140 plus years. Keep teaching, keep preaching, keep doing it, all work, keep doing it. Persevere. Never give up on anybody. Don't give up on Thomas, give up on no one. Keep preaching the gospel of forgiveness and I will work. That's my promise. Persevere. Keep fishing, church. Don't quit. And the third thing is he's teaching them, it's only by his power it's going to happen. Thomas does not convert by the persuasive arguments of the apostles. He converts when Christ comes and shows him the scars. Lesson for the church. It's not by our personality we convert people. It's not by our style that we convert people. It's not by our great skills of communication that we convert people. It's not by what we do, who we are, our strategy. It's by the crucified and risen Christ that people convert. So only as we teach him and preach him are people going to convert. So make sure, church and school, that we teach Jesus. That we teach him crucified and risen. That we teach the forgiveness of sins in his name and teach it right. Because that and that alone converts people. You must teach Jesus and his saving name. I was watching a CBS morning show yesterday morning for a moment, and I caught a headline. And the headline said this: the future of humanity depends on the red planet. Well, that's kind of interesting. That's what it said. A scroll The future of humanity depends on the red planet. Words spoken by, I guess, the leader of NASA, who I guess was saying how Mars, the red planet, has a great impact on the future of humanity. And what was my response? I kind of laughed a little bit. Oh, really? The future of humanity depends on Mars now? The future of humanity depends on the mercy of God. It depends all on the mercy of God. He has shown that mercy in His Son's death and resurrection. And the future of humanity, listen closely, the future of humanity depends on the zealous mission of the church. If we are lazy, we fall into idolatry, and we just don't care, how's the world going to be saved? The future of humanity, we want the whole world to hear. That's our theme, until the whole world hears. May these kids go out and make disciples of all nations. Go to other lands, kids. Think big. Be a missionary all over the place. Go out and spread the good news of what you learn. The mercy of God, which is preached in the mission of the church. It's not a red planet that's going to save anybody. It's the red blood of our God hanging on a cross. He is here. He is here indeed. Hallelujah. And there isn't one who gets direct with His church. We might be scared. We might be guilt-ridden. We want to hide behind doors. I'm afraid of the big bad world, He says. Remember the cross. Reach out to the lost. Unlock the door, disciples, and live. Unlock the door, First Lutheran. Unlock the door and live for your risen Lord, and do it now. Amen and amen. Let's stand.